The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, true crime podcasts have seen rapid growth in recent years, with 35% of Irish listeners listing it as their most listened to genre. These podcasts don't just entertain, they can also bring new focus to overlooked cases. One case that made headlines last week was that of former swimming coach George Gibney, who was charged with his crimes after 31 years. And this followed renewed attention from the 2020 podcast Cover, which resurfaced the case and put pressure on the courts to pursue a prosecution. And here at News Talk, our correspondent Frank Graney hosts Inside the Crime, exploring Ireland's unresolved murder cases and sharing the stories of victims and their families. And Frank is here with me this morning. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's your take, given that you make a true crime podcast, what's your take on whether or not they're just entertainment, kind of voyeuristic entertainment, or do they serve a public service purpose?
I'd like to think that they do serve a very important public service. And I feel uncomfortable when people describe true crime podcasts and books and whatnot as a form of entertainment. It's kind of a morbid curiosity, I think, when you go down that road. But I think you can do both.
If it's not entertaining, we're not going to stick with it.
Well, there you go. And the more people that you can reach out to with these podcasts and with these public appeals, the better. Obviously, you mentioned George Gibney, and that is a fantastic example of when a podcast like the one that the BBC and the Second Captains made does have a very positive influence on an investigation. And I mean, people like myself, podcast producers and makers, I certainly don't go out exclusively to try and solve the case. I'm not an investigator in that sense. I'm not a Garda. But I think what true crime podcasts can do, and certainly what the one in relation to George Gibney did, is raise public awareness, keep a story in the public arena. The larger the reach, the more potential you have for tip-offs and things like that, for people to come forward. And also, and we're particularly interested in cases that go back into the past, you know, decades, cases that maybe have been forgotten through the kernels of time, because you might be appealing to somebody's conscience years later, somebody who may have felt they couldn't come forward back when it happened for whatever reason, and that they may do with the passage of time.
Now, just remind us of the series that you did and what any outcomes might have been from those series.
Well, we've done three seasons of Inside the Crime, and the first one focused on the murder of Sharon Whelan down in Kilkenny and her two daughters.
There was a conviction in that case.
There was, and it was the only season that we covered that did have, I suppose, a conclusion of some sort.
Not necessarily to everyone's satisfaction.
Well, and that was the greater purpose, I suppose, of doing that particular season and focusing on the Whelan family, was because they were very upset with the fact that their killer, Brian Hennessy, was only handed one life sentence for taking three lives. And there was a whole conversation around mandatory sentencing and parole and things like that in relation to season one. For seasons two and three, then, we focused on unsolved crimes. The second was about the murder of your former colleague,
Charles Self.
Yes. And then the more recent one was about the murder and the disappearance and subsequent murder of Una Linsky, and the fallout in relation to what happened about that decades later. There were miscarriages of justice, and that led to, not specifically the podcast, but again, you're talking about reminding people of these stories. Mm. Like, this was back in the 1970s.
Yeah. Now the key element of that Una Linsky story was a Zodiac car, or a Zephyr car, both similar in body shape and size, made by Ford. Nowadays, I suspect that car would be found within days, certainly.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, like, it is fair to say that the way our police force investigates these types of serious crimes nowadays is far more sophisticated than it was back in the 1970s. You have CCTV, you have mobile phone data, although that has been controversial in terms of an investigation tool over the past few years. But you also, I mean, podcasts weren't around in the 1970s, so you're relying on your daily newspaper coverage, and that wasn't maybe as detailed or as sophisticated as, I suppose, what we're able to do nowadays. And it is about, like, you know, if somebody is listening to a series about Una Linsky and is talking about this very distinctive car, that might trigger somebody's memory all those years ago.
Yeah. Did anything accrue from that series? I mean, did anybody come forward with...
No, not in relation to that particular series. But what did happen, and it was kind of working in train, was that the Gardaí opened a cold case review, which is ongoing. That was opened in 2023. And it fell nicely for us in terms of we were able to include that in the final episode of that particular series. And I'd like to think that what our series did, and Mick Clifford has since written a book about the murder of Una Linsky. Again, it perhaps feeds into this cold case review where you're engaging the public with the story and hopefully reaching out to people who know something, no matter how trivial they might think it is, that may come forward. And we would always say, and I should say, it's very important to point out that we shouldn't be the first port of call if somebody has information. It should always be on Garda Síochána. Yeah.
And yet you can be the prompt, yeah, if you like, that might lead to someone doing something. Other podcasts you've come across that have resulted in, you know, cases being resolved? There's one I can think of, Who Killed Emma, the BBC Scotland production hosted by Sam Poling.
Yes, and another
fantastic
one.
Fantastic one.
Absolutely brilliant. And I must say the BBC, and whereas George Gibney is another fine example of when these podcasts work really well, because I think there has been a trend in recent years to have a more victim-centred focus, and that can certainly be said for Inside the Crime, I hope you'll agree. Whereas in the past, and there's still an awful lot of true crime podcasts out there that kind of focus on the sensationalism and, I suppose, the grisly details of the murder as opposed to the people behind the story. But one that stands to mind when you ask me that question is, it's 10 years old, 20 years old now, and it was by American Life, and it was Serial. I don't know if you've listened to this, and it was about a young man called Adnan Saeed, who spent 23 years in prison for the murder of his high school sweetheart, and was released on the back of this podcast that forced the investigators to take another look at the evidence. There were issues over the reliability of certain witnesses. Now, his conviction was ultimately overturned. It was set aside. It has been, as it turns out, reinstated. And in recent months, he was told that while the conviction stands, he is a free man. He doesn't have to spend any more time in prison. But it certainly, that was downloaded 300 million times. Okay. So it just goes to show how popular and how effective these things can be.
Now, you want suggestions from people as to the next series of Inside the Crime.
That's right. We're producing the fourth season of Inside the Crime. And in a pre-production meeting recently with Aisling and Eric, we thought that it would be interesting to put it out to the public to see if there was any cases out there that capture the public's imagination, preferably unsolved, that go back in time, that aren't maybe as readily available to the mind as maybe the more high-profile cases.
You know, if we hadn't had a recent conviction, which you covered, of course, of Richard Satchwell, that would be the kind of thing that...
Absolutely.
Would be grist to the mill of us.
Yeah, so we thought it would be interesting. Clearly, we've got some ideas ourselves. But before we pull the trigger on any of those, excuse the dreadful pun, we would like to reach out to the public. And we have a dedicated email address as well, insidethecrime@newstalk.com. So if anybody has an idea, so many communities out there that still talk about, you know, unsolved murders and serious crimes from back in the day, that's the kind of people that we want to reach out to. And then we'll go and we'll go about doing our work. It's not just a matter of landing on a story. You obviously have to have contributors. Archive audio is very helpful as well. It comes down to time and resources. But
and do you have any issue, like if, for example, the Annie McCarra case? We had developments recently, but that's a cold case which has been reopened for review by the Garda Síochána. You tend, I presume, not to be doing stuff in parallel with what the Gardaí are doing.
Oh, exactly. And it goes back to the point that I made earlier, is that that's not our job. You know, we would like to work in tandem with an Garda Síochána, but we're not investigators in the same way that they are. So we certainly, and I think there is a big difference between these true crime podcasts assisting investigations as opposed to interfering with them.
How often in these podcasts have the perpetrators kind of unmasked themselves?
In true crime podcasts, nothing springs to mind. But in traditional media, I can think of several suspects who have become convicted killers. One that springs to mind is one that'd be very familiar to you, Joe O'Reilly. That famous or infamous appearance on The Late Late Show. And this was, I think, just weeks after his wife, Rachel, had been killed.
Yeah. And the kind of space between the Callalys and him on the sofa of the show was quite... remarked upon.
Yes, and Rose Callaly, Rachel's mother at the time, who was seated next to Joe, has since said that she knew, before that interview even went out, she knew that Joe was the one who killed her daughter, and it would be weeks later before he was arrested and charged, and maybe 3 years later before he was convicted of it. But he was on the couch speaking to you, making a public appeal for information. And I watched it back recently, and it made for some very uncomfortable viewing, because he was clearly lying. And I mean, we know that now through the passage of time. But it was more interesting, I think, to look at Rose and her behaviour and her body language, because it was very obvious that she knew exactly what he had done. And, you know, mothers know best, obviously.
The one thing that triggered me was when Joe talked about towels being missing. And I was thinking, what man knows how many towels there are and where they should be and all the rest?
Yeah. And look, Richard Satchwell is another one that we could talk about, and the way that he courted the media, and there was an element of manipulation and control in both of their relationships with their partners, and that almost transcended into the media and the way they portrayed themselves in the media.
All right, Frank, we look forward to Series 4. InsideTheCrime@newstalk.com is the email address for any suggestions that would provide a fruitful material for Frank and his colleagues. Frank Rainey, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.